I now call this meeting of the Village of Pomona Zoning Board of Appeals to order at 7:36 on December 17th. And the, I guess the first order of business would be the, is there old approval, there's old motion approval of resolutions from last time that need to be signed?
No.
Because you just have approval of resolutions.
We have the minutes to approve.
Okay, you have the, well, we don't have a quorum from...
We do from October.
From October? I was here. Oh, that's right, I was here on that meeting. Okay.
You've gone so long, you forgot.
I forgot. It was a short meeting, now I remember. Okay. Do we have anyone who would like to make a motion in the minutes?
Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Seeing no no votes in the negative, the motion to approve the minutes from the last hearing is approved. The next order of business would be the continuation of the public hearing for 9 Cheesecoat Lane. So I guess whoever's here on Cheesecoat Lane, why don't you come on down?
Yeah.
Or you could just, you don't have to even come on down. Right,
you can,
there is.
You can hear me. My voice carries, I've been told. Rachel Barise from the engineer for the applicant. The address is 139 Lafayette Avenue, Suffern, New York. I'm the engineer from Civil Tech. So we've been here before. The applicant is looking to put a pool and a pool house in his backyard. It is an odd-shaped parcel. He is next to, this is a town of Haverstraw Park. And then the property behind him slopes up considerably. There is a big change in grade. So we have, based on feedback from the board in previous meetings, we have now moved the pool and the pool house in. So when we're, I think we started at 5 feet, and this is now 12 feet on the side and 12 feet in the rear. So we have adjusted it based on some of the feedback that we received. So any questions?
Since I was not here at the original introductory meeting, why don't you, I mean, I've read the materials, but sometimes I like to hear it, you know, personally.
Okay.
Why don't you kind of give me a little bit of a summary?
So the first time that we had come, yeah, we had 5 feet on this side and 5 feet on this side. The property is smaller to begin with, but that's the lot, that's how it was approved, that's how it was built in the beginning. And so there's a limited space in the backyard to put his pool, even to begin with. In order to offset the increased impervious surface from the pool, he is looking to replace his driveway with pervious pavement so that he's not asking for that variance in addition. And it is a unique situation because you have the town of Haverstraw Park on this, on the property line. So there is no neighbor that's impacted here. And the neighbor, this neighbor who is abutting, they have a very steep slope on their property. Their house is probably 150, 200 feet away, if not more. And it is a huge change in elevation. This is probably 100 feet off from where their house is. So again, it is not a big impact to these neighbors. It is a unique situation because of those factors. I think when the applicant was here previously, he talked about some health issues of his that were causing him to want the pool. But that's not something that I feel comfortable speaking to you about. But I think it is in the record if you read through that, that he spoke about. So if you wanted to look back. But I don't know his medical background, nor do I want to.
Okay. And you want to discuss which the variances that you're trying to...
So we're seeking a variance for the side yard.
Yeah.
where 25 feet's required, we're now proposing 12 feet to the pool house. And in the rear yard, 30 feet is required, and again, we're asking 12 feet to the pool.
So it's just a side setback, a side yard and a rear yard?
Yes. So the lot area is an existing condition, the lot frontage is an existing condition, the lot width is an existing condition. So those things are not something we're asking for. That's just the use does not change, so those are not variances requested. It is just from the pool and the pool house for the rear and the side. As I said, the applicant is agreeing to change his driveway to pervious so that he does not exceed the development coverage.
Lot area coverage.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay.
So it's just the rear and the side. And as I said, those are unique because of the park and the sloped property behind them, and the distance to his neighbors.
I'd like to move to go into executive session to discuss this, just the board.
Is it for to get legal advice? Is he looking for an attorney-client session?
No. I'm just looking to figure out what our view is. Are we going to vote on this today or no?
You can. But you should not go into an executive session for the purposes of deliberating. You can go into an attorney-client session for the purpose of seeking and receiving legal advice as to how the standards may apply.
Okay,
I'd be happy to do if you wanted to do that.
I'd like to go into an attorney-client session for a few minutes to get advice on how the standards apply to this case.
Okay, if you have a motion to that effect, you can. That's a fair motion.
Okay, so we have a motion. Do you have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Two votes approve. So I guess we can. I guess we'll pause the recording and we'll move to a client attorney-client privilege session for a few minutes, and then we will, can reconvene in 10 minutes after, 5 minutes after that.
Right. So we'll come back. Right. Why don't we come back? Why don't we leave to go to a secure location where we can talk?
Sure.
That way the applicant knows when we're back and they're here when we're back.
So I guess come off the record though or adjourn.
Yeah. The motion was granted. Voted upon and granted. So we're in attorney client session.
Okay. So
we can come back on a motion when we come back.
Adjourn for at 7:45.
So we're going to the village skiff.
Motion to come out of attorney client session.
Okay.
And continue the hearing.
Do we have a motion to come out of attorney client session?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Seeing no opposition, the motion passes to resume the public hearing. When we last left off, we had heard from the applicant's engineer and a little bit of the background on the project. I think now we can discuss the five-factor balancing test, which is under New York law the standard of review for the board.
First thing I would do is, we all can see that there's nobody else from the public in the room. But the record reflect.
Yeah, there is no one else other than the applicants in the room.
Right. So no public comment other than from the applicant or his representative. So yeah, so if you like, I can start talking about the five factors, and that way we could do it while the hearing is still open. So if there's any feedback, you can have a give and take with the applicant on anything if you'd like. Rather than closing the hearing, then do the five factors and the balancing test. So, as you all know, the standard that applies to a situation like this is a balancing test pursuant to New York State Village Law. You're to weigh the benefit that's being sought by the applicant and that the applicant would achieve by the granting of the area variances as against any detriment to the health, safety, and welfare to the community that would be occasioned by the variances. And that's guided by five factors, the first one of which is whether there would be any detriment to nearby properties or a detrimental change in the character of the neighborhood caused by the grant of the area variances.
I don't see from the application that there will be a detriment to the neighborhood. especially considering that most of the neighbors can't see down, and then on the back side of the property there is no neighbors. Well, I don't think there would be any detriment to the surrounding neighborhood. Does anyone else want to make a comment on that?
I agree. It doesn't change the nature of the neighborhood in any substantial way.
I agree.
Okay.
Okay. Next is whether there are any feasible alternatives to achieve the benefits sought without the granting of an area variance.
There might be alternatives, I'm just not sure they're feasible. You know, he wants to, they want what they want. If moving or changing, I don't think it's going to accomplish what the applicant's intents are.
In reflecting on the plans, the first thought I had was that perhaps if we remove the pool house, that would that affect it, you know, but moving the pool house only affects the back because that's where it is. And that's where there's the least effect. So I can't really make a straight-faced argument that change would be merited based on the effect on the community. That was my first thought. Well, I don't really see that as a major contribution that offsets the benefits to the applicant.
I think the only question I have is whether the pool can be moved such that we're not looking at such drastic percentages in terms of the side variance and the back variance, and if it means giving up some of the backyard, so be it.
I guess I'm more concerned with the side variance than the back, because side setback than the back setback. If there's a way to do it, even maintaining the existing 12-foot back setback, but increasing the side setback to maybe 15 or 18 feet, that'd probably be easier to swallow. Did you have a comment? The local engineer.
I'm just taking in what you have to say, and then I think maybe it might be easier if I talk at the end, if you want me to answer.
Okay, so I agree.
No, that's good, so then I can have a donut.
I mean, we did move it 7 feet in, and then, so the one thing to consider, I think, are you considering this to be the back, or this the back?
The first.
This, you're saying, is the back.
The park is the back.
No, the park is the
back. I mean, I think this is
which
the back
is the park?
Because the face, this so is the front of your house.
Which is the park?
This is the park, which I think is your side.
Yeah.
Because the house faces this way.
It faces Cheesecake, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Cheesecake is coming here.
To the left-hand side of Cheesecake Park.
The door is right here, is on this side. So to me, this is your side.
Agreed.
The side is the side facing the park?
Yeah. Like, the house is looking this way.
Right, because the entrance is over
here. Here's the front door.
Okay, I misunderstood.
Here's the front door. So if you were looking at the front door, the park would be on your right, on the side.
Okay.
Behind you is the hill that's going up. So this is the house that's going, it's the hill going up. But this is, to me, this is your back, this is the rear, and this is your side.
Where is the?
Yeah, so you can see the house faces this
house
way, so the park's over here, but that's the side, and then that's the back.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It's confusing because it's oriented this way, and you think of looking, it feels like it's facing this way, and it feels like that's the back, but it's actually facing this way.
Got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for explaining.
Yeah.
I'm not used to reading plans yet, but I'll get used to it.
this setback at all for the pool house, everything gets pushed in towards the house because of this V here. So it pushes it in closer and closer to the house here. So that's kind of why it was tucked into this corner. It's not really, as we go this way, we have, this was the corner that's the steepness, it gets a little steeper. It had some rock, was what the applicant had said. So this was on this side, it's a little further from the house. Again, it's not a huge separation as it is in this backyard. It's not a huge yard that there are. Yeah, it's like a pizza shape, but it's not a huge yard either way. But if you have questions further, let me know.
I mean, this is, so I see here is the yard line, right? And then there's another 15-foot wide sanitary sewer easement?
Yeah, on the back property, so.
But that's not, where does the property line then start for that neighbor? On the other side of that easement, or no?
No, the easement is on the neighbor's property.
Oh, the easement's on the, that is the property line
the
over.
The yard line is the property
line. Oh, it
line.
Is, okay, and it wasn't sure and if then, the easement was.
Yeah. Up considerably, and the house is all the way in the front of their property because of the change in grade.
And also, if you look in the backyard, even on this particular property, from here, after where the pool is, also it's only from up and down to the driveway from 8 foot differential.
Yeah, I see it goes up about at least 10 feet.
Yeah, so
to the next.
There's not much where to move the pool.
Right.
It's not that he has a big, huge property. And that's why originally you want to go 5 foot to either side because you want to stay with it. But this is the way it's positioned now is literally the most efficient way on this property.
You see how it's graded, also how it goes up?
So I just this over 50 feet higher than this property. So this house is 50 feet over. They're looking straight over this. It's super steep. But I happen to have done the survey on that one too, so that's why I pulled it up. And their first floor is actually about 60 feet higher, if not more.
60?
That's 60 feet high. The house on this back property about 60 feet higher.
It's like a rock.
Yeah.
Right.
50 foot tall here.
Got it.
So just like the impact of them is
zero.
No, some, yeah.
So what looks to me the back is actually the side, the park is actually the side lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
What's the that was the third factor?
That was the second factor.
The second.
The third is whether the requested area variance is substantial.
I guess a question of substantialness is subjective. The percentage wise, it is a bit substantial, percentages. But they are also constrained by the irregular shape of the lot. I don't know where else you would put it. I mean, if the lot was square or something, that would be different, right?
Yes, it is a unique parcel.
It's one of the only properties that I listen for one. Almost.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique property. There's not very many that would be up against
park.
The park.
Pizza.
The unique shape. As the neighbor with the change in from their house to this house.
What do you guys think about, so is it a substantial?
Well, I think the percentages of the requested reduction setback is substantial given the numbers that we're looking at, which is 50% on one and 75% on the other. So I understand it's a unique property, but that doesn't change the fact that these are substantial numbers.
Forty-8% on one, and I got 40% on the other.
Well, it's 40% of remaining, so they're asking for a 60%.
Okay, fine.
And 52% on the other.
Yeah, I mean, the factor with regard to substantiality, there's two things I would say about that, or a couple things I could say about that. The case law talks about like essentially substantiality in a vacuum without a negative impact or detrimental change is not in and of itself a basis to that would be sustained to deny an application. It's substantiality combined with an impact. And substantiality, no one of the factors is ever considered controlling. So just because a variance is numerically substantial does not in and of itself require a denial. It can certainly support a denial if there's a negative impact that stems from its substantiality, but it doesn't have to.
Okay. What's the next factor?
The next one is whether the proposed variance would cause any, detrimental, adverse effect or impact on the physical or environmental conditions in the neighborhood or district.
So I guess someone will have to refresh my recollection, but were there any negative engineering comments? I don't remember seeing Martin's letter. I guess did we get it?
I don't remember seeing it either. Knowing Martin,
I wouldn't doubt him to be prepared for it. I just don't remember.
Here, I have it. I think. Yeah, he issued a letter September 17th. He says he recounts what the application is. He's got engineering comments. S1 through S14. I could list them quickly. There's a lot of them, but they're all brief. There just happens to be a lot of them. Show and quantify trees to be removed. Provide drainage calculations. Dry well detail as shown. Show the location on the plot plan with an open grate. Trench drain detail as shown. Show the location on the plot plan. Typical trench detail is shown, show the location on the plot plan. Clarify the CO shown on the plan south of the pool deck. Clarify if two hot tubs are proposed. Show water service to the pool outside, to the pool house. Provide a pervious pavers detail with maintenance requirements. Provide a retaining wall detail. A concrete sidewalk detail is shown, clarify where this is proposed. The board should review the need for some landscaping, which is a typical method to mitigate a variance request. The proposed retaining wall is offset from the west property line by approximately 1 foot. Constructing the wall this close to the property line may require disturbance to the adjacent lot. And last is on the drywall detail, add clean stone to the stone specifications. So my view on each of those is all but one of them are things that could be made a condition of a grant, because they're all engineering comments that I'm sure the applicant would comply with all of those. Am I right that?
Yeah, they're minor comments.
They're all minor comments.
I would say the only thing that would be a question is as far as the landscaping,
yeah,
because it is close to the property line. But as I said, the change in elevation, the house behind them is approximately 200 to 250 feet away from this rear property line, and is 60 feet higher. So putting shrubs next to this is not going to do anything, and I'm not against landscaping in any way, shape, or form. And normally I would say, yeah, like, it's great, it's screening. In this case, it's not going to do anything for the other neighbor. It's only going to help if this homeowner wanted it, but it's not going to do anything for the other neighbors. I don't think it helps as far as a condition, because it's not mitigating the variance. Because, and again, I think it's important that it is a unique situation because of the change in elevation to the adjoining properties and the park. And that you are not impacting a neighbor whose house, the neighbor isn't seeing this, they're not being impacted by the development. In other cases, I'm totally in favor of the landscaping as mitigation and would propose it, but this is unique.
Okay. Speaking of being neighboring the park, is there any consideration as to the effect of noise coming from the pool going into the park?
No, but I do believe that this was sent out to for a GML, and so Hammerstraw would have been notified, and they did not offer comment. The GML that we received from the county planning, I don't know how many of these you've been seeing, but generally county planning's letters are horrific, and in this case, they were fine with it. So I think that says a lot in itself, that it really isn't making a big impact. Yes, there will be a pool next to them, but if it was a backyard and there's kids outside playing, there's no more noise from one versus the other. Somebody allowed, you know, hang out in their backyard and create noise. So I don't think that the pool and the pool location is really going to make a big difference as far as noise.
Okay. And the last factor is...
is whether the difficulty was self-created.
That's not determinative in the use. It's an area variance and a use variance, right? That's where the law changes.
That's right. If it's self-created and you're asking for a use variance, that's the death knell. You cannot grant it if it's self-created. In the area variance, it's but one factor. It's not controlling. And many, many, if not most, area variances are self-created. Really, the test is whether the person is... there's a bunch of tests. Maybe if I start whittling away at one, I'll go on for 20 minutes. But if you have a choice and you're aware that the code prohibits it, and you're choosing to go forward to improve your property anyway, usually that's considered self-created. But that can be mitigated by the unique circumstances, pre-existing conditions, and so on and so forth.
Would you say that since this property was purchased with awareness of the special circumstances and the interest in putting a pool, and awareness of the fact that it was going to require special variances, and they proceeded anyway, would you call that self-created?
If you're asking me, yeah, that's the traditional definition of self-created. So yeah, that would definitely fit that definition.
You can even just go surface level, and if you want to make an application to use a pool, then it's self-created. Otherwise, then you don't make an application.
Almost every variance that you see is self-created because the owner wants something.
Right.
And you buy a house, and we all have bought houses, and we don't always see that far down the road of what we're going to want in the future, or, we don't look at all of those factors. So yes, I'm not going to say it's not self-created. I think that it's just one piece, and the other factors of it having a unique shape, unique neighbors, a unique location, and that he has conceded by, reducing the variances requested, is what makes this different.
Right.
I have no more.
I mean, one of the things I just note over here is that it's already an undersized lot, you know, vis-a-vis the what generally in the R40, 40,000 square feet. Just that's also what I'm thinking about. It's already a bit undersized. Do you guys want to talk about it and vote, or you want to discuss the factors a little bit, or you think you're ready to?
Are you ready to call the question?
Well,
I go either way.
My preference is do whatever you need to do procedurally, but I'd like to get Mr. Baker's input so we can put it over to the next meeting.
Sure. I mean,
and I think we have all the information we need, but let Bill take a look at it.
What then? It's 30. If we then adjourn the public hearing, we then have 30 days.
Well, if you close it, you have 62 days.
Yeah, if you close the hearing, then you have 62 days to render a decision.
Or we can just continue the hearing till the next time to let.
Well, we could.
If Bill was here.
Well, the next meeting is January 21st. Are we going to be ready to decide then?
Are you asking me? I mean,
I'm asking my colleagues.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think so.
I mean, I know I hear Alan what you're saying. I mean, I'd be ready to vote now, but
make motion.
I don't know if the chair can make a motion. Can the chair make a motion under?
Yeah. Well, look. Anybody can make a motion. What you would have to do. These are your options. I'll lay out all your options. Right. One. You could. Somebody can make a motion. And if it's seconded, to close the public hearing, and the public hearing, if it's voted on all by all three of you, the public hearing will be closed, and then you have 62 days to render a decision. If you go that route, you could vote tonight, or you could wait until next meeting or whatever within 62 days. What if you do close the hearing, but you really want to hear from Mr. Baker? That's not really, you're not going to really have an opportunity to hear from Mr. Baker, because then I guess you could. You could come back and he could review the record and you could deliberate and, on the record with the hearing closed.
But he won't have an opportunity to ask any questions.
Correct.
That he may have.
If he has questions of the applicant, he won't be able to ask them. And so, so that's the other option. The other option is to just keep the public hearing. So you can close the hearing and vote tonight. You can close the hearing and not vote tonight, or you can keep the public hearing open to the next meeting. Those are really the three options.
I move to keep the public hearing open until the next meeting.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, seeing that the motion passes to adjourn the meeting but keep the public hearing open to the next regularly scheduled date, which will be January 21st of 2026.
Okay.
I guess we have one more item of business, and that would be to approve or disapprove of the proposed ZBA schedule for 2026. Has everyone had a chance to review it?
Yep.
Only in part. I just want to be sure. Have you looked at it?
That was going to be my next question. I'm assuming none of these bang into the Jewish holidays.
Jewish holidays. That's why it's not consistent on the days.
That's fine.
On the original schedule that I sent you guys, I think it had like stars next to each day that came on a Jewish holiday or a national holiday, so it would be delayed.
Okay.
So there's nothing here that's on a Jewish holiday or not?
Nothing.
I have been. Okay, so bearing pending review of that, I'll move into approve.
Yeah, I'll second that, and I guess see all in favor to approve the ZBA schedule for 2026, say aye.
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 Aye. Seeing no opposition, the motion passes unanimously. Okay. With there being no other new business, I now call this meeting of the Village of Pomona ZBA to a close at 8:32.